Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to consider some of the most popular TV shows and some that have ran the longest time. Think of like Law and Order. It's a show that's been on like 30, I think almost 40 years now. All of Thursday is Law and Order. But think about some of these other shows or movies, you know, the famous Sherlock Holmes. Think about old shows like Perry Mason. You think of some of the more fun shows. Monk was a favorite one. And then Matlock and Columbo. These shows were really popular. And I think one of the reasons that these type of shows are popular is because they're about usually detectives and cases and trying to find out the truth. There's something in us that we love to find out the truth, and one of the places that we see that the most is in crime cases with either investigators or lawyers and judges. So these shows and movies, they're just so popular to us because that seeking the truth is part of us, isn't it? I always think about Columbo, where he was famous when he was asking questions and he would just say, "Just the facts, ma'am." Some of you might remember that. Showing the younger kids are like, "Who's Columbo? What is that?" You should watch it sometime. As we look at our faith and our foundation, we see that our foundation is one of facts. And that is what Luke really wrote about. He tells us that as he introduces his book and says that he investigated everything. That he wanted Theophilus to know that everything he wrote, everything he was sharing, everything that was true about Jesus was, he could be certain of. It was facts. But in a world today where everything is about misinformation and everyone wants to put the question of, is there even truth out there? We have to ask, how do you know what is truth? What is true in our world? That's a hard thing to find, isn't it? There's people that just want to censor things that are out because, well, that's not true. And, well, we can't let people share things that aren't true. It's become so hard in our world to find truth. Well, why is that? I think there's many reasons for this, but it's the idea that we live in this postmodern world. It's been for a long time, but I think it's even harder because of the general world that we live in today. I'd call it a world of bias. Do you agree with that? And a world of bias says that trust only this or there is no truth. Kind of ironic, but I find it extremely hard to just find facts. If there's an event that happens in the news, can you just find an article or a video that just shares the facts? What is it now? It's all opinion. And the opinion really is the article and the news instead of the facts. We live in this world of bias where everyone's trying to convince you of something and to persuade you to believe something. It's extremely hard. When looking at news, I try to look at one side and look at the other, and you compare the news stories and you see the same thing and you see completely different views. So what's true? Well, when we look at these kind of opposing things of trust only this or don't believe that because there is no truth, I think first when it comes to trusting only one person, people convince us this in a couple ways. I think number one, I think people will say something over and over again. And if they say it over and over again, then it must be true. Have you seen this? In the politics and in news articles, it's something that you're pretty sure is not a real thing or a true thing, but hey, if I say it enough, it's true. And that can be on both sides. And you have to look at the things and really ask, just because you say it doesn't make it true. And one of the clearest ones in our world today is the things that are repeated over and over again about abortion. Abortion is health care. Is that true? If you really look at what it is it that? There's all these things that if I just say it long enough, then it's true. But really, what's at the heart of it? What are the facts of this thing? And that's what we have to do. And so people say things over and over again and try to convince you. Or the other thought is, well, if the majority of people believe it, then it's also true. Have you felt that in our world today? That happens a ton where, you know, you're in the minority, so you must be wrong. The truth, well, everyone says it's this way, so that must be the truth. That must be right because the majority believes it. We know from history that that's not true. Just because many, many people believe something, the facts come out that they were wrong. There's all these things that people lead us to believe one thing and to trust only them and to disagree with the other side. And you have to understand, though, and check your bias. Where are you biased and not seeing maybe the failings of the things that you believe and understand that you have a bias as well? What are the facts? This is also extra hard because even though we live in this world that talks about trust only this, we're in this world that says there is no truth, the second part of this bias world, which makes it hard because everyone in this postmodern world says, you have your truth and I have my truth. And who are you to say that you are right and I'm wrong? This is what it means to be postmodern in the idea that there is no objective God. This takes away the idea of objective truth and objective God, that someone writes something or history happens and we must interpret it based on who we are and what we've experienced. And so everything is based off of each individual person, and so each person has their own truth, and really then there is no objective truth. And it goes on and on and on where we struggle, because then where's the truth? Can you find a truth? Today we're here to say, you can. The truth is, as we're going to talk about, what we can find in the Bible, but there's truth all around you. Either something happens or it doesn't. Either you're in church this morning or you're not. Either your car started to get you here or it didn't. We live in a world of truth, and we have to understand that and believe that. Otherwise, you're really not going to function well in this world. So as we live in this world of truth, Luke, who was a doctor, sought to find out what was the truth. He said these things. He said, many have undertaken to draw up an account of these things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were the first eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully invested everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Luke didn't come in with a bias. He went in and he researched. He talked to all the people. He wanted to have the complete picture and to share it. To share it so that Theophilus could know the truth about Christ. To know that what he had heard of and all these amazing things about Jesus were true. And it's not just for Theophilus. Theophilus means lover of God, a God lover. And so who could that describe as well? You and me, someone who wants to know and love God. And so the same thing applies to you and me. Your faith is founded on facts, investigation, and history. It's not based off of just a feeling or an idea, but these things really happen. Why is that important, that these things really happen? Well, you might say, well, that's not a big deal, or, yeah, of course I know that. But it's important when it comes into the grand scheme of religion and what people believe in this world. You take Buddhism. I remember this conversation very clearly. I was sitting at my kitchen table in China and talking to one of the few people that was a very strong practicing Buddhist that I've ever met. And so I had all these questions to ask. And she answered a ton of them, and it was fantastic. But a fascinating thing she said is, Buddhism doesn't need Buddha. You take Buddha out of Buddhism, and you still have Buddhism. What? How does that work? Well, it's not really matter if Buddha is real and what he did, because it's all about a teaching and a way of life. Because it's all about you reaching nirvana. And so you learn all these different ideas. And so if Buddha's real or not, if these things are true, if he really said it or who taught these things, doesn't matter. It's just about you reaching and becoming something new and, you know, putting down suffering so you can reach nirvana and become one with the universe. But you think of even Islam, if you take out Muhammad, doesn't matter. If Muhammad isn't there, he was just a prophet. And so many religions are not based on if this thing was true, because what they teach is how to be a good person. They teach you how to live. And so it doesn't matter if it's based on facts or truth or history. It's just about self-improvement and a hope that you can be good enough to get into heaven. Well, how does that work? How do you feel in something like that? And when you don't even know if these things are fact or not. But how is Christianity then different? We see that Luke wrote about Christ, and Jesus then explains what he did in the end of the book of Luke. This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. He opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. What is different? Everything was prophesied and fulfilled in Christ. And Christ speaks about that he had to come to live and to die and to rise again. And it really happened. And that means something, doesn't it? It says that repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached. You're forgiven. You have peace with God, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done. And so the facts of Jesus bring truth to your life. Isn't that amazing to think that what Christ has done, it matters. And it's not based off of a feeling. To think of, does God love you? Well, sometimes I think we think about that statement of God loves you as, well, that's a nice feeling, isn't it? But think about it, that it's rooted in facts and history. That Jesus came and he lived and died and went to the cross for you and me. So if you're struggling, and if you're struggling with your sins or struggling to understand God, you can look at real history and say, God loved me so much to send Jesus to die for you. So do you have any question to doubt if God loves you? He did something for you. And the facts are there. And so you don't have to doubt that God gives you this love and peace and forgiveness. But what's interesting is knowing the facts doesn't always equal faith, does it? We see tons of people who study the Bible who know the facts. There's tons of people, I showed in catechism a video with tons of people being asked who they think Jesus is. And tons of people think, oh yeah, Jesus is real. He was a cool guy, a lot of times they say. He was a good guy, he made great change. And so people know that he is real, but that doesn't equal faith. And then there's people who are presented with the evidence of Jesus and God, and they refuse to believe. And there's a famous atheist, his name is Thomas Nagel. He says this. He says, I want atheism to be true, and I'm made uneasy by the fact that some of the most intelligent and well-informed people I know are religious believers. It isn't just that I don't believe in God, and naturally I hope that I'm right in my beliefs. It's that I hope that there is no God. I don't want there to be a God. I don't want the universe to be like that. He knows there's evidence, and many of his smart friends are Christians, but he says, I don't want that. And we can look down on atheists, but I think the point for us to look at is we know the facts. We know that God has died for us, that Jesus loved us so much, but are there times that we still doubt it? And not only doubt it, but we take the facts of who Jesus is and his forgiveness, and we run from it. We know it's true, but I want nothing to do with it because I want to do this sin. I want to say, no. Oh, I can drink as much as I want because, well, that's what makes me feel good. Or I can go to those places on the internet that you know you're not supposed to. You know the facts of what God says is good and right, but you want nothing to do with it. Or the truth of calling out a brother or sister in the faith, but we run from the truth because we're afraid of it might hurt our relationship. There's times that we know the truth, we know the facts of God and his love and his forgiveness, but we love a sin or love ourselves and our reputation too much. That's when we know that we've doubted and fallen short too. That's why we need this perfect Savior to come. But then we also see what he did with his disciples. It said that he opened up the scripture to them. We can present the facts, but what is the biggest blessing and that gives us the most hope is the work of that Holy Spirit. The work that takes the Bible, this truth that you can trust, that is one of the most historically accurate book from generations and generations. And it's not just that, but it's that it does something. It's powerful, it's active, and the Holy Spirit works to help you to believe, to help you to repent, to know of your fallings and shortcomings, and to cling to Christ, to cling to his love. Because he truly did love you. He truly did come to die for you. And we see that throughout the book of Luke. We see that in his writings, in so many of the amazing things that he shared. My encouragement tonight, in the next couple of weeks, look through the book of Luke. Look at all the ways and all the stories that Luke wrote that tells you how much Jesus loves you. Think about the Good Samaritan. That Jesus is our Good Samaritan. When no one else cares for us, when we don't care for those that we should, Jesus sacrificed everything for you. Or the lost son, the prodigal son and the love of the father. When the son goes away, wastes all his money, goes off and sins, and he comes home to ask for forgiveness, and the father comes and wraps his arms around him and says, "You are part of the family. You are my loved son." Over and over again, the truth of Christ fills your life today with peace and forgiveness. To know that it means something for you now, to give you hope in your everyday life, to help you to forgive one another, to forgive yourself for the things you struggle with, but to know there is peace and eternity forever. A loving Father who sent his Son Jesus to live perfectly for you, to die and to rise again, to know that no fear has power over you. Amen. Please stand. May now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.